This song is dedicated to Bobby Barber and his outstanding grudge against a man known only as Adelberg.
Hey, listeners. I'm sure you're all wondering what that's all about, but you'll have to keep listening to this week's episode of Blind Date to find out. The show where each week I interview a ridiculous individual from Louisville, its sister cities, and beyond. And I'm your host, the guy that no longer holds a grudge against the man only known as Adelberg, Bobby Barber. My guests today are the dynamic duo Weirdo Beardos. The Weirdo Beardos, consisting of Jason O'Mudd and Tristan Palmer, are two webcomic artists who specialize in the absurd, the sci-fi, and just the general silly. They illustrate various webcomics and grow beards, such as Life with a Beard, such as An Interview with a Beard. Welcome, Tristan.
Hello.
Welcome back, Jason.
Salutations. Good to be back.
Thank you for coming in again.
Absolutely.
All right, Tristan. I talked to Jason about this last time when I talked to him. He was saying that Weirdo Beardo started out kind of sparked from a beard growing contest. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and for the record, it was our second beard growing contest, and it wasn't so much of a competition the second time around, because I, you know, for me, I'd already won the first one, which
we did.
Yeah. The backstory on this.
How exactly do you win a beard growing contest?
Well, in this case,
funny you ask.
Yeah, we were in college, roommates in a dorm, and I thought that I could grow a better beard than Jason, so we had a time limit. About 3 months, you know, in at the beginning stages of beard growing, it gets scruffy, gross and scraggly, and then
itchy.
Yeah, and then like a magical overnight chia pet, your glorious facial locks are full and beautiful. But in this,
the first stages are trying though, absolutely.
Oh yeah, especially if you've never grown one before, and these were our first beards.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that these were like primordial beards. These were our very first beards.
Primordial beards?
Out of the ooze of our baby faces.
So we made an agreement that the first person to shave loses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
I guess Jason shaved.
Yeah. That's how that story ends.
He fell on a razor. It was an accident.
Yeah.
I copped. Yeah. It was purely accidental, but I copped out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I rode on the coattails of that victory for about 5 years.
I was very bitter about it.
Yeah. So, you know, this was 2011 we decided to do this, you know, because everyone's like, oh, 2012, the world's going to end. I'm like, well, let's grow year-long beard longs. So
yeah, the idea was to if we're going out, we're gonna go out in a beard of glory,
with glorious mane.
I guess that would be the best time to grow a year long beard.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if the world's gonna end, might as well.
Yeah. That's what we thought, just to have it. You know.
Yeah. So
have that under our belt.
So we did the second, like, beard growing competition, or
but as brothers,
yeah,
as brothers in beard
brothers.
Yeah.
So. And that sort of spawned, I mean, we've been always had ideas to work on comics for a long time. Like, we collaborated on just stuff in high school, but I mean, it didn't really go anywhere because we're kids.
Yeah.
And all throughout college, we just built these stories up in our heads to these grand, like, magnum opus status of things. Like, this will be the best thing ever. But we didn't want to tackle that with no experience at all. So,
yeah.
Weirdo Beardos, for us, started out initially as a way to glorify ourselves, our beards, and basically just, you know, give us some footing and some experience when it comes to sequential art and storytelling and stuff.
Now, there
like that.
Seems to be kind of two phases of the Weirdo Beardos. Mm-hmm. It seems like that first kind of era of Weirdo Beardos is comprised of what seems like nothing more than inside jokes and humorous memories, but then, like, a little while later on, it takes on a more linear story, a more concrete plot. What was the reason for that change of format?
I think initially when we started it wasn't supposed to be anything too serious, obvious. if you go back and read any of that stuff, it's really embarrassing. Our technique, our form, we had no format style.
Yeah.
It was different depending on how many panels we needed to tell the story in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly just something for us to do weekly along posting our beard progress pictures. This is all the same year. It was just a year-long celebration of all things beard. So we were both doing artwork for Weird Weirdos at the time. And yeah, it was just an outlet, a venue for us to tell some of these stories that we thought were ridiculous. And I think it came to a point where we exhausted our limits, our stories, and ultimately ostracized our audience, or what audience we did have, because it was all inside jokes. Yeah. And,
yeah, and they not to cut you off. There seems to still be a bit of inside jokes here and there with the newest era Weirdo Beardos. I did want to ask about a long-standing character. He seems to be the host of this show, Ancient Aliens. I can't pronounce the guy's name.
Giorgio Tsoukalos.
Yeah. What role does he play in your lives? Are you guys just fans of the show? I'm sorry.
Well, a big part that Weirdo Beardos has sort of taken on is it is inside jokes and stuff, but we try to make them more accessible.
Yeah.
Sort of how you have shows like Venture Brothers or Arrested Development. They start a joke and then they run with it and they keep bringing it back up through references.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we want to do, but we want to expose our friends to... Right. Or exploit them, however you want to phrase it.
So using the canon of characters we established in the first run, we decided to create a singular format. I do all of the artwork. Tristan does all of the writing. And we had an overlying story arc that new readers could follow, even if they weren't familiar with the characters and the backstories.
Now, are the story arcs, this is a question more for Tristan, I'd say, the story arcs, are they more based on sci-fi films, or is it like
it's mixture? Pretty much everything that we love. I mean, I write the story, but it's really Jason and I that create like the ideas of it. So for instance, in the first one, we were just going page by page. We didn't have an overall arc, which is kind of why it's a little sloppy and the footing's not so solid on that first little part where us as characters go into space and fight meatballs looking for pizza, you know. It's completely ridiculous. But then you know that when we hit this sort of ancient Egypt place, it has a more cohesion to it.
Right.
So it's one of the things, too, that with the longer we go on it, the more we understand how the medium works. And so now it's just kind of based on who do we want to expose our friends and put them in like a main protagonist, or, you know, we just sort of build things around actually kind of beard centric things too, because we have ideas for villains that create a strain of virus from our beards that we shaved off from the first year-long beard, and they create this virus that makes everyone baby-faced, and then it's going to affect one of our friends who is baby-faced, and he's going to become a time-jumping assassin coming to, you know,
actually, that reminds me of something. last time I spoke to Jason, if anyone actually keeps up with the show, he said that one of you have the shaved beards in a bag. I'm just curious which one, who has these shaved beards? Where's the location of these beards?
Jason has them.
We cannot expose the location.
Well, I don't think I really want to find it because it's probably really disgusting.
I actually don't want to find it either. I've actually forgotten where I put them. I'm going to be horrified when I find them, like I did recently. I discovered them after they were sitting in an abandoned vehicle of mine after a year.
Oh.
The horror. Of realizing that I had put these shaved beard bits in these paper bags and left them for a year.
Yeah, there's two bags. One's marked with a T, one's marked with a J. So we don't cross the whiskers at all.
Right. You can't cross the whiskers.
You can't. And also, I'm pretty sure he relayed the discovery, the rediscovery of those bags, and
I just sent him a picture.
Yeah, and he sent me a video, and the bags were breathing. I was pretty sure. It so twitched.
We still have not decided what to do with these beard follicles. We may sell them eventually.
eBay?
I don't know. You know, people buy strange things all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe Viking burial.
Maybe that will be the new hipster hair instead of wood.
Yeah, maybe make effigies out of them and do a Viking burial for them. I'm okay. Not certain, so.
I like that. It's like nice. Effigies. It's very poetic.
We'll take a poll and see, you know, what our readers want us to do with it.
We just know that they can't fall into the wrong hands.
So are you guys planning on taking Weirdo Beardos beyond web-based, like the digital arena?
Well, the thing with Weirdo Beardos, the Weirdo Beardos is a web comic, and mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's about us,
yeah.
But we've kind of taken the namesake and made a Weird Beard Studios.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Weird Beards, plural. So yeah. It's the two of us, and we want to make, I mean, we're just talking about ridiculous stuff. You know, other comics, we have Iron Age and No One that mm-hmm. that we've been working on for a while.
Just to name a few.
Yeah.
So we got some other projects boiling on the back burner. Mostly Weirdo Beardos is a way to perfect our craft.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, it's
an exercise, I guess.
An exercise, because it's something we do weekly. So mm-hmm. we're constantly honing our abilities, and that helps us... you know, get down to the real business.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at, like, the first Weirdo Beardos, like, mm-hmm. web comics, those utter, horrible, unspeakably squiggly things, and then you look at the pages that Jason cranks out now, I mean, you can see how much he's grown and,
yeah.
you know, just
in a couple of years.
There's definitely it's far more polished, and there's definitely a very consistent style. I think that was the thing about the first phase of Weirdo Beardos. Yeah. It's very all over the place.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can see Jason's form emerge out of that, and then mm-hmm. I tried to have a form the whole time, and I gave up on it, so...
Yeah.
You can see him progress, and then me degress.
Now, these other projects you guys were talking about, No One and Iron Age, mm-hmm. are they also going to be web-based, or are you going to actually do, like...
Well, I mean, comics are going digital now, so mm-hmm. as far as, like, an actual web comic, I wouldn't say that they're really going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, a week-to-week post. We're going to... right now, we're thinking about doing an issue zero to No One to kind of introduce people to it and get some buzz going with it.
And make that, like, a digital format for people to be
like
able to
read. Like an e-book?
Mm-hmm. Right. And,
okay.
And then as we put out other issues, having those maybe purchasable or, like, PDF... downloaded
mm-hmm.
format of the entire issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which there's like actual online sites. I know Amazon's really good for doing like mm-hmm. a create your own self-publishing sort of things mm-hmm. through their Kindle device. And then they have CreateSpace. They own that. So you can actually self-publish like hard copies of your books.
So we're exploring a lot of different options, but I think we'll do a mix of both
mm-hmm.
digital, because that's just where things are going. And then we mm-hmm. also, I think, for ourselves, would like to have a tangible
copy
of these issues that we're producing. So.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like comic books are kind of imagination currency. Yeah, I love it. So I love to have that in my hand, touch it.
Well put. Yeah.
And plus, they really just, it's nice to have that, like, once you print it out, the quality that you see on the screen just changes. And it's not in a bad way. Like, it was... To me, leaps and bounds, like, you've got it right there in front of you, and the inks just pop off the page, so.
Mm.
Yeah, I think for some people, they just have to have a physical artifact. It there is something different about it. It's the same with music lately. It's just, like, the whole MP3 download. Like, people just get music so quickly, and they kind of forget they have it. It's not so much a ritual as it used to be by actually buying a physical album, looking at the cover art and the lyric sheets.
Yeah, not to get off tangent, but I agree with, I think the digital format in itself, think of photos, music, mm-hmm. video. Yeah, I think we keep consuming and procuring all of these things, and we're less connected to them.
Yeah, we can't keep up with them, and it's not as special because it's so easy to obtain.
Yeah, and that's how I am with reading. Like, I prefer to have the book, physically have the book. There's just something about, you know, cracking that spine and just getting into the pages.
Yeah.
And just, you know, self-defense, that's always important when you have a big, thick omnibus hardback. Could throw it at somebody.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's always good. Yeah. Now, let me ask about No One a little bit. No One... from what I gather, talking with Jason and talking with you guys before the interview, it's more of a kind of mystery noir kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It spawned out of, it's really heavily influenced by those Bandage characters. I know for me, it was The Invisible Man, and even Jeff Lemire has this comic called Nobody, which, you know, we sort of, I took the namesake of no one from that. And just the character, I love the idea of this character. You don't know who he is, what he is, because we were trying to bounce back. Like, there are things that happen to this character that no one's going to live through. And right. So it just...
Inhuman.
Yeah.
So there's sort of a supernatural aspect to it as well. But I think we just wanted something that was a little lighter than Iron Age, which is pretty dense.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that eventually when we're ready. But no one was... like Weirdo Beardos, an exercise in trying to just...
Is it just as pop culture heavy?
No,
not as much. It's like a... Okay. It's set in an alt time history.
Mm-hmm. It's so. Like... we just kind of... half of the characters, I just had weird dreams. Like, there's a midget sniper who eventually has a son that is just
mutant,
an apple.
Yeah, a mutant apple that... is cognitive and speaks.
Yeah,
we won't get into how a midget gives birth to an apple.
It's going to eat you up, though.
Yeah, that's the thing is with no one is it's just we have all these zany characters, not goofy zany, but just like real weird,
just bizarre. Yeah,
yeah, and it's just a throw in, kind of like everything that we'll probably end up doing. It's some sort of paying some sort of homage to. Things that we love, just ideas, because the noir stuff, love noir stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Mystery. We like the idea of there being a really bizarre, otherworldly kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we also like the technology of it. So it's going to be set in a time period that feels like early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be an element of technology that's obvious, that obviously not present during that time period. So
yeah, it's just kind of like, imagine if Tesla, you know, was a time traveler and had influence earlier on than he did, but you know, society didn't really advance that hardcore.
What if Tesla was accepted and was more revered than Edison?
That's definitely an interesting idea.
And what if Tesla, his technology was, if he had the funding. To be able to do the things with this technology that he was capable of. And what if he uses technology to keep people alive, like, say, Lincoln? Mm-hmm. Just saying. There's a lot of literary history references. Less pop culture, since it's a different time period.
Okay.
And then we just basically play around in it to do whatever we want.
Your pseudo super science, mad scientist sort of, noir story. Yeah.
Now, before we run out of time, I know you guys do a few things here and there outside of comic books. What kind of other projects are you working on that are outside of that realm?
Well.
Funny you ask that.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, we've had some things before. We were doing music type stuff. We actually, on our Tumblr page, posted a song that we had made about one of our friends and an evil fight, or an epic fight with an evil landlord for the golden deposit.
Right.
But there's actually one funny thing came up earlier today, which, you know.
During lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a few minutes ago.
Having a power meeting lunch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Jason and...
it wasn't just my idea. It was a collaboration.
It was a collaborative effort.
Yeah. But he did coin the term, the wells on wells.
Wells on Wells?
Wells on Wells.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit more about Wells on Wells?
Well, it's nothing like Meals on Wheels.
Not to be confused with Meals on Wheels. It's the director, actor, icon, character, Orson Welles, reading sci-fi, literary, mastermind, H.G. Wells. Is the concept. Is Wells reading Wells.
Yeah. And of course this is very, very early stages, but we would have Jason dress up as the late Orson Welles.
The late great.
The bigger one, and then we'd In this case, we were talking to Bobby as well to be the young, handsome Orson Welles.
Right.
Well, you know, baby-faced.
Just
smooth.
Not skip a beat and just cut in between that to where he is big.
To old an aging Orson. Welles.
So yeah. I guess it'd be video then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Because we'll be dressed as Orson Welles.
Reading it. Or just describing the pop-up book version of...
10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Or what have you.
And then Orson Welles making whale sounds.
So I think we have a lot of these kinds of ideas pop up out of our idiocy.
Yes. It's nights after we've had brain damage.
So, you know, a night of celebration.
Yeah. I'm assuming libations.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. Not that we endorse that, but
yes. Okay. It's one of those things that Jason will get on a roll, and I don't stop him, and then everyone laughs and can't eat their food because they're suffocating. And
it was a funny lunch. It was a pre-interview lunch for listeners out there. A lot of good ideas were thrown about, a lot of laughter, a little bit of sweating.
Two things.
Yeah.
One things can't... Never mind.
How can one things be two things?
That's the quote of the day.
It's the quote of the day.
Take that, put it in your pocket, and think about it later.
That reminds me of one thing before we leave, because we are running out of time. What is the deal with the Beardspirational quotes? What spawned that?
Inspirational.
Well, as I said earlier, we love to exploit our friends. So mm-hmm. we take the things that they say out of context, because they're hilarious, and just make all
I'm sure
of
that
our
causes
friends.
A lot of problems.
None so far, but it's going to get us, I think.
Yeah, it might come back. But
some of them are risque. I've read a few.
Some of them are little...
A little...
Delicious.
Politically incorrect.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is we're... Everyone's just having fun. And mm-hmm. if someone was really offended by one, obviously we'd take it down.
Yeah.
Because I've made a few and just sent them to the friends that they were made of. And I'm just like, hey, look at this. I have this over you forever.
I mean, it's definitely... a nice card to keep in our deck for blackmailing, but, you know.
Blind date. Artists, writers, blackmailers, you name it. We got it here.
Humor. And we got some grifters, too.
And some grifters. So, example, how can one things be two things, is a Tristan quote.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll use that.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as we put other people on there, we put ourselves on the spotlight, too.
Like, I mean, we're self-deprecating. We like to make fun of ourselves, obviously.
It's all in good fun.
It's all in good fun.
Well, guys, I appreciate you guys sitting with me again and, you know, being so patient.
Absolutely.
You know, good luck with everything. Wells on Wells. Check
Wells
it out.
Wells on Wells.
Wait for it.
Coming soon.
You can learn more about these ridiculously creative guys at weirdobeardos.com. You can also find them at Tumblr on weirdobeardos.tumblr.com. Search for them on Facebook. And if you enjoyed this episode or any episode, please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends, tell your parents, your family, enemies, I don't care. Anyone that's interested in things funny or artistic, check it out. I appreciate it. You can learn more about the podcast and myself and everyone that's been featured on the show at blinddateart.wordpress.com. You can find all sorts of nice tidbits, images, links to everything. You can find a link to the podcast and whatnot. I'm going to leave you guys today with a track recorded by Jason and Tristan about a one-time standing grudge I had with a landlord. I'm sure many listeners have had the same problem. This song's called Adelberg. Created by the Weirdo Beardos. It's a little rough and it's ridiculously intense, just like them. From the awkward to the profound, this has been Blind Date. I'll catch you next week.
This song is dedicated to Bobby Barber and his outstanding grudge against a man known only as Adelberg.